Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Robert Crowther, Director of Communications for Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. And with me today is one of our senior fellows here at the CSC, scientist and author Dr. Jonathan Wells. Jonathan has a PhD in biology from University of California, Berkeley, and is the author of several books about evolution, the most recent being The Politically Incorrect Guide to Darwinism and Intelligent Design. Welcome, Jonathan. It's good to see you again.
Good to be here, Rob.
I know that in your new book, you have a chapter titled The Ultimate Missing Link, and I was hoping we could talk about that a little bit, and you could explain to me how, with all the missing links, you managed to narrow it down to just one ultimate missing link.
Well, we often hear about how the links between different animal forms and plant forms are missing from the fossil record, which happens to be true. According to Darwin's theory, there would be innumerable transitional forms between any one species and another species because, according to Darwin, the differences between one generation and the next are never greater than we observe in, say, our domestic animals and plants. So the movement from one species to another has to be very gradual and, mm-hmm. and small steps. It's true that the fossil record is missing these innumerable forms. What are often identified as missing links turn out to be forms with intermediate characteristics, but forms that paleontologists recognize could not possibly have been the ancestors of subsequent organisms. But the ultimate missing link that I refer to in my book is this. According to Darwin's theory, all species are descended from other species by unguided natural mechanisms like mutation and selection. All species, after the first. And yet, in 150 years, no one has ever observed even one species evolving from another species by a Darwinian mechanism. Not one. Darwinists themselves have recognized the problem. They call it evolution's smoking gun. And it's missing. Nobody's found it. To this day, there have been various reports of species evolving. But in every case, they're still the same species. So Darwin, you know, did not write a book called How Existing Species Change Over Time. He wrote a book called The Origin of Species, and it's widely recognized that he never solved the problem, and it remains unsolved to this day.
Right. Now, not only have we not seen or found evidence of one species becoming another species.
By a Darwinian mechanism.
Right. I understand, though, that there, and this is something you've written about in the past, that there are computer simulations that claim to do this. And I guess that they would say if they're evolving new species over time through a computer simulation that we should take that as evidence that it could also happen in the natural world. Is that what they're trying to do when they have these things?
Well, actually, most of the computer simulations that I'm aware of really simulate evolution within existing species. So even they do not get from one species to another. But as I said before, changes within existing species have never been a problem. People were observing them for thousands of years before Darwin came along. That's not the issue here. So not only have computer simulations failed to solve the problem, even if they seem to solve it, I would say that a computer simulation is not the same as evidence from the natural world. Now, Darwinists will say sometimes, well, the origin of new species takes too long to observe. And that's possible. But then that's not evidence. That's right. A speculation.
And we should have some evidence somewhere in the fossil record or something. No matter how long it took, there should be some evidence, and we still haven't found any of that.
Not direct evidence. Now, there are cases in which I would consider it quite plausible that new species evolved by a Darwinian mechanism, hypothetically speaking. Mm-hmm. One example would be the finches on the Galapagos Islands that seem to have evolved from a common ancestor and diversified into a dozen or so different species, although nowadays some of those are interbreeding with each other, so it's not even clear that they're different species. And in any case, it's just a hypothesis at this stage that these very similar-looking birds might have evolved through a Darwinian mechanism. My point is that no one has ever actually observed a new species evolve in this way. Now, okay, so what? Well, the problem is this theory claims to explain just about everything
right.
about living things. And the key starting point for the theory, the origin of a new species, has never been observed.
Right. And now it seems like that, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a scientist, so the finches in the Galapagos that Darwin wrote about, that seems like microevolution as opposed to macroevolution. I mean, they didn't change into aardvarks. They didn't even change into other birds, let alone become a new species. I mean, they were still some sort of a bird, probably a finch. Their beaks just got longer. Isn't that right?
Well, that's a different story. There have been observations, most notably by Peter and Rosemary Grant of Princeton University, of finch beaks actually evolving in shape or size. Evolving in the sense that, well, I'll tell you exactly, they observed that during a severe drought, most of the finches in one population died, and the few that survived were the ones with the larger beaks. And mm-hmm. so in the next generation, statistically speaking, the beaks were slightly larger. Now, a few years later, the rain came back, and the average beak size went back to normal, so it wasn't a big deal. In any case, we're just talking here about changes within existing species, which
right.
I said a minute ago, are not controversial at all.
Yeah, nobody is arguing that that happens. And it's common that definitions of evolution are interchanged in that sometimes they mean microevolution, a change within a species, versus sometimes meaning macroevolution, where one species becomes another. So it's always important to clarify exactly what you mean by the term evolution, isn't that right?
Exactly, and that's why I prefer to use the term Darwinism, which is more or less synonymous with the word you just used, macroevolution.
Right.
There's lots of evidence for microevolution, that's changes within existing species. And when you ask Darwinists for evidence for their theory, that's commonly what they come up with. But it's actually not evidence for Darwinism at all, because Darwinism deals with changes beyond the species, the origin of new biological organs and forms. And that's where the evidence is lacking.
Wow. Well, you address all these things in your new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Darwinism and Intelligent Design. Is that right?
Yes. These and other issues, I also go into the claim, the grossly overinflated claim that nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of Darwinian evolution, which is flatly untrue, and various other claims as well.
Right. Well, thanks for answering these questions and talking with us today, Jonathan. We appreciate it. If anyone is interested in answers to questions like these, you can find a list of 10 questions for your biology teacher on the webpage for Jonathan's new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Darwinism and Intelligent Design, at www.darwinismandid.com. And if you have questions that go beyond that, you'll want to get the book, because he deals with those and a lot of other issues there, answering all sorts of interesting questions for people. If you have a question for us here at ID the Future, you can email it to info@idthefuture.com. And we'll try to get an answer for you. I'm Robert Crowther for IDTF at the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.